Good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate your presence. The seventh of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit listed by Paul in Galatians 5 is that of faithfulness. And that will be the topic of our discussion in the time that we have allotted this morning. And so as we begin our study of that word, it is from the Greek word pistis, which is a noun form in Galatians 5 and verse 23. But it's from a family of Greek words, a very familiar family as far as the New Testament is concerned. The verb is pisteo, which means simply to believe. And so as we look at this list that's found in Galatians 5, the King James Bible translates the word as faith. Most modern translations, all the rest of the translations we normally cite in this study of the words, including our Pew Bibles and the New American Standard, which I generally read from, translates the word in this case as faithfulness. According to Young's analytical concordance, members of this word family, from the root to believe, occurs 557 times in the New Testament, making it one of the most frequent words used in the New Testament. And I think that's the point that we need to understand when we look at this word in the context of Galatians 5, that is that it is a very frequently used word, and it occurs in the King James Version of the Bible, which is what Young's is based upon, 239 times as faith and 52 times as faithfulness, or being faithful. And so as we look at these fruit of the Spirit, I think it's important that we look at it from the perspective that Paul uses, would use the word in this list of things that should be developing in the life of a Christian to demonstrate that we are at one with Christ. And so that's what we want to talk about for just a couple minutes. The one of the lexicons that I use, the Leonida, which is a more modern lexicon, simply defines this word as trustworthiness, dependability, faithfulness. And I think those are all good definitions that indicate that in Galatians 5, when Paul is using this word, he's not using it of God in the sense that God is faithful. He's not really using it in the sense of its basic meaning to believe, because he is addressing Galatians 5 to believers. And so what he is saying about this word in the context of Galatians 5 is that believers, as a result of their walk with God, because of developing the fruit of the Spirit through their lives, come to be faithful or trustworthy people. The commentator Barclay says it is the quality of reliability, trustworthiness, which makes a man a person whom we can utterly rely and whose words we can utterly accept. And so it's the kind of character that causes people to think the best of us and to have confidence in us in what we say and what we do. When we look a little bit more into this word, looking at the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, which, if any of you have ever used it, goes into the way the word was used in the original common Greek, the classical Greek, how it was used in the Septuagint of the Old Testament, shows the development of the use of the word. And it points out that pistis, and the whole family of words that comes from it, were not originally religious terms. When we see it, we think religiously because of the significance of the word faith in our religion and how significant it is in the Scriptures. But that's not the way a common or normal Greek person would have thought about seeing that word in their literature, their poets, or their philosophers. They would have thought about it in terms of the characteristic of the individual who was a reliable, trustworthy person. From the Christian perspective, we understand that we can't understand this word apart from its religious significance to us and its role in the New Testament because of how many times the New Testament writers use it and the many ways in which they use it. For instance, we understand that the primary demand of Christianity is that a man at the very basic aspect of being a disciple is one who believes. John 8 and verse 24, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Now that's faith. You must believe that he is the one that will save you from your sins. And faith or belief is essential to our salvation. I won't say any more about that because our Sunday morning Bible study in Romans, we're going to be talking about that a lot the next several weeks. The gospel, as Paul says in Romans, is linked to faith and to salvation. Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament in its article says, "In primitive Christianity, pistis becomes the leading term of the relation of man to God. It is that which describes man and his relationship, the ideal relationship to God." But that's faith. And so we're talking about faithfulness or being faithful in Galatians 5 and verse 22. And so what I believe as we look at faithful in the context of the fruit of the Spirit, that yes, the basic meaning of it is reliability or trustworthiness, but I believe it really functions in the Christian's life in two realms that really express what this list started with, and that is love. It was at the very beginning of the study, and so faith being faithful is an outgrowth of our basic love that we have as Christians. Our love for God, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength, is expressed in a faithfulness or trustworthiness of our unwavering commitment to Him and our devotion to Him, which should grow day by day as we develop as a Christian. And the second great commandment, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Loving our neighbor as ourself means that we conduct our lives in such a way that others can view us as individuals that they can count upon, that they can rely upon. So understanding that, we can look at this. And so what we say is that the Scripture really expresses this quality of faithfulness, I think, in three ways, what being faithful really means. First of all, I think we can find that it is the qualification or the quality of Christian service. It expresses who we are as servants of God. Jesus asked the question in Matthew 24, 45, and 46, "Who then is the faithful and sensible slave?" That's why I had Tommy read that passage as our Bible reading. "Who is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time?" And his answer is, "Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes." And so the answer of what does faithful mean in relationship to God, it means we are the kind of servants of God who will be busy serving Him, doing what He wants us to do until He comes. Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. "He who is faithful in very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of what of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? And so that concept of reliable service, that something is put in your charge, as a Christian, you are both capable and willing to do it. But the second aspect of that word is that faithful is a requirement for the ministry of the word. God expects us to be faithful servants. He expects us to be faithful with his word. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach all others also." And so it takes a faithfulness, a dependability, a reliability in the use of God's word to be a believer in his word, but then to also teach it and commit it to others who will be faithful teachers of it. So faithful in service, faithful in the ministry of the word. And it expresses ultimately what is the extreme commitment that is required of a Christian. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, John records Jesus saying there, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." So there is that commitment to be so trustworthy to God that you will not abandon him even in the face of test and of trial. I suggest to you that the ultimate test of discipleship is not how we begin. Almost everyone can begin well. See, I look out at Sister Pam and I get a little envious. She's lost all that weight. Well, I know for a fact that I can begin as many diets as she has begun, and I begin every one of them really well. The question is, what happens the second day or the third day or so on? You know, good beginnings are good. But what really goes the test of time is, do you stay with it? Do you finish? And that's what Galatians 5 is all about. Paul is writing that to Christians and saying the ultimate test of your discipleship is not how you begin, but how you end. What do you do once you've made your commitment to God and say, "I am going to let the Spirit of God live within me"? And it's how do you develop that fruit? And faithfulness, even though it comes a little farther down the line, is the evidence that is apparent not only to God, but is apparent to others, that we are allowing God to work in our lives. That we are not satisfied with who we have been, that we are striving still to be what he wants us to be and to become. And the end result of developing that fruit of the Spirit, including the fruit of faithfulness, is a home with him in eternal life, because we are his children. And he sees us through to that. So we all strive to develop this quality or this characteristic in our lives, that quality of faithfulness. The one who is scheduled to lead the prayer is not here. Brother Cliff, would you lead the prayer before we go to class?
Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we approach you again in prayer. another Lord's Day, come together to study your word, realizing it's a lamp unto our feet and a guide to our pathway and the importance of it. As stated in my prayer last week, is that it's eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain forever. By it we have been born again. So the great importance of studying it. So as we enter into this study, we pray for the teachers and pray for those students that are young, that they might carry it into their adulthood and become faithful members of your kingdom. Go with us and bless us during this hour and forgive us our sins. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.